ever been on an emotional roller coaster? Well, I've been on a roller coaster, and it can leave your stomach, you know, up in your throat. And it can be fun, and it can be scary. But an emotional roller coaster, well, not only does it leave your stomach up in your throat, it can damage your relationships. It can create tension with the people that you love. There's a lack of predictability. And the people around you who are on the roller coaster with you, who don't want to be on the roller coaster, may be struggling to hang on, right? All right, we're continuing our discussion. We started yesterday on emotions. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, along with Jennifer and Stephen here at our Intentional Living Center. And we had so many great calls yesterday. Thank you, those of you who participated. And I think the star I want to put on a call from yesterday was Tara. If you missed it, you need to go back and listen. Tara was in prison for 10 years, 20-year sentence, 10 years in prison. And God used a moment in time in that prison experience. Isn't it interesting? It was another prison mate who invited her to church. She said, I don't want to do that. But she did, and God used that to begin to change her life. And you could hear the lightness in her voice now. Powerful thing. And so emotions can be something that either drive us forward in a positive way. Anything you've done that's really positive in your life, there was some emotion with it, right? And the things that create problems in your life, there's an emotion with that as well. We call them the negative emotions. And so we got to deal with emotions. The Bible says, be angry, but don't sin. So we know emotions are certainly a part of our existence. And even for Christians, we understand they can be a friend or foe. And if you try to bury your emotions, you bury them alive. And they're going to pop up at the most inconvenient time, painful time. Or sometimes we deal with emotions by blowing up. I say it's like gasoline, emotions like gasoline. You can either use it to drive a car forward to make progress and go to where you want to go, or you can use it to set ablaze a whole forest and destroy everybody in the process. And we don't want that, do we? All right, so we're continuing to talk about the power of emotions, how they can be a friend or foe in our life. Let's go to our callers. Abigail is in Michigan. Hi there, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good, appreciate your call. What have you learned about emotions, Abigail?
I've actually learned a great deal. It started a couple of years ago. I was actually miraculously delivered just random one day while I'm driving. I know, funny while I'm driving, but my life hasn't been the same since. And God's dropped a lot of wisdom on me. And one of, I think, the most important ones is I control my body. My body does not control me.
Right.
I'm my spirit lives within my body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my body doesn't control me. That, and I would say, don't let your emotions create questions for you. Question every emotion you have and whether it aligns with God's word.
That's right. Yeah, we should bring every thought into obedience to Christ. Take captive every thought, the Bible says. And let's face it, the emotions are usually preceded by some thought. Sometimes they're conscious. Sometimes we're not even aware of them. But you're right. Question everything. Is this of God or where is this coming from? Feeling angry.
Absolutely.
Yeah, where's this anger coming from? You know, is this from me? Is God prompting me to use this for some good? Or, you know, what this loneliness I'm feeling or regret, where is it coming from? Because if you don't, what we tend to do is, right, we tend to run off and do the things that are not going to be healthy for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. What have you found? No, go ahead.
I just know from experience before my deliverance, I actually suffered from a lot of different mental health issues. I had been going to therapy. You know, I had complex PTSD, panic disorder, anxiety, depression, bipolar depression.
Well,
the list goes on. My panic disorder was extreme. It would last for a couple hours at a time, and I'd have it multiple times a day. That's actually what I had gotten my dog for, was as service to that. And then, you know, praise God, I no longer need that. But, you know, God is the only one true constant in our life, and that's why you can rely on it.
That's right.
Because your emotions come and go, but God stays the same.
Absolutely. God stays the same. He never changes. Absolutely. Abigail, thank you for your call from Michigan. Boy, what an encouragement for someone who's maybe waiting for that in their own life right now. God, you never know what God's going to do. We trust Him. I do know this. Abigail mentioned that, you know, I can't control everything. We teach this thing of the circle of control. And I'll tell you something about the circle of control. The circle of control is time limited and space limited. And what I mean by that is I can only control what comes in and out of my mouth, my attitude, my emotions, how I choose to speak. These are things I can control. And time-wise, one of the callers coming up here in a moment, I'm going to help her think through this fact of, you know, you can't go back and change the past. And if you're still struggling emotionally with stuff in the past, it's time limited. You have no control over that. And I have no control over tomorrow. Now, I can control what I do today to try to influence tomorrow. I mean, I want to put a positive influence in my marriage and my family and finance and health and so on. But I don't have any control over it. And so what I do have control over is what I do today and how I deal with my emotions here today. That's really what we're talking about. Talking about emotions, this is Intentional Living, Lives Being Changed. Here's the question. Are you experiencing your emotional life the way God intended?
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. Have you ever had an aha moment when you realized you needed to make a change or do something different in your life?
We don't have very many aha moments. We're so busy doing what we're doing, working on what we're working on, speaking for myself, that those aha moments just kind of come and go.
In Dr. Randy's message, How to Have More Aha Moments, he'll explore 10 ways you can have more of these moments and stay away from crisis moments in our lives. This month, we have an incredible opportunity as some friends of the ministry will match your gift dollar for dollar up to $10,000 to help reach the critical fiscal year-end funding need. To receive unlimited access to Dr. Randy's teachings and send in your matching gift, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, I appreciate the fact that you're doing that. Thank you for your support. Thank you for being a part of the ministry. And as you've heard me mention, if you've been listening at all here over the last few days, this month of June is our final month in our fiscal year, wrapping up on June 30th. We're about halfway through the month, right? And so what you do right now is going to be a big help. Here's the deal. We have those of you who are just regular members. You're supporting every month. You've been so faithful on the auto program, just giving every month. Thank you. Thank you. We can't do this without you. We'd be doing something else without your support. But we really believe that God is blessing this ministry, adding to it as we reach radio, podcasting, events, and so on. And so as we come into this final 30 days, this month of June, wrapping up our fiscal year, the report is we have a gap to close of $50,000 in additional love gifts. We have some friends of the ministry that have been matching everything up to $10,000. So when that's matched, and we're so very close to it here, probably today here in the hours ahead, that'll take us to 40% of the need met for this month. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you for those of you calling. So your most generous gift right now would make a huge difference. Now, there's two ways you can do this. You can either go online at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, give safe and securely there. You'll be included. Just mark down, hey, this is a love gift or whatever it asks for you there. Just plug it in. Or you can call, if you'd rather talk to somebody, one of our staff, during West Coast business hours at 888-888-1717. And when you do, press number 2. 888-888-1717. All right? Passionate about it. We're talking about emotions. My emotion is high expectation, and we're excited about it. And certainly love to hear from you. 888-888-1717.
Hey, Dr. Randy. This is Terry calling from Columbiaville, Michigan. I wanted to comment about anxiety and let you know that I too suffered with that. And it was about a five-year battle that I'm just basically coming out of over the last 6-8 months. And the one thing that really brought me out of it was listening to your program one day, and it was probably 2 years into it, and you started talking about the one thing, and that just stuck in my mind, and I found myself making myself do one thing every day that I didn't want to do, however small it was, whether it was going to the gas station to get gas. I made myself do something every day, no matter how small, that I didn't want to do because of anxiety. And after a period of about 2 years, it's pretty much gone. There are still some lingering effects of it, which your mind will probably never forget, but that is the path I took. I tried medication. It didn't work. I tried counseling, but a lot of prayer and making yourself get up and do things that you would normally just want to not do. I thank you for your program, and God bless.
Thank you. You're very welcome, Terry. Listen, I'm going to just camp on what he said for a minute here. I mean, this is a man who said, I'm just going to get up and go for it. I was thinking the last couple of days about the difference between hope and experiencing hope. You know, I hope for a good day. I hope for a good marriage. I hope for a good parking place close to the building. Right? You know what experience hope is? Driving up there and see if there's one. I hope for a good marriage. Experiencing hope is starting to love my spouse in ways maybe I haven't done in the past. In other words, if I want to experience it, I've got to act on that. Now, what do you do when you get to the front and you find out there is no parking place? I had hoped that there'd be a parking place, and there was no parking place. It's a good question. You know what? We say God got something else in mind. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about faith at that point. Not everything that we hope for is going to happen. Now, we know God has a hope and a future, but it's his hope and future for us, and we don't always know what that's going to be. But you know what? We're never going to experience it unless we drive up to the front and see if there's a parking place. And if there's not, God will have another one. Maybe it'll be the next aisle over. I don't know. And some new experiences. I don't know. But anyway, I think he's reminding us with that comment about the power of really, really trusting God. All right, back to the calls. Rita, thank you for your patience. Go ahead and tell us your story.
Well, lately I've been having really, really deep, in-depth emotions about it, and I've been saddened by them and disappointed by them. I think my expectations of children not being concerned about things that I, you know, Mother's Day just went by, and I don't know, I think I was expecting more than I got, you know, a few texts, some phone calls, and I just didn't concentrate on the good stuff, and, you know, I should just let it go and go on and stay in the Word, because I know God wants me in the Word, and he knows I'm valuable, and he knows that, you know, I raised children, and I did what I could, and I am loved, even though my children may not call me or text me very often. I get saddened by my emotions, and I tell myself, well, Rita, you just need to start reading more scripture and, you know that God loves you and, you know, he wants to spend time with you, even though the kids might not. But, yeah.
So
that's where I am with my emotions right now because of Mother's Day and all that. So, and it's not about me. It's about God.
You are not alone. You're not alone. There's a lot of moms and parents listening who feel like their kids have moved on. In many ways, they're busy with their kids and their schooling and their life. And, and so the parents sort of get, they get there. If we take the initiative, and that's a question, do you sit and wait, or are you willing to say, hey, if I'm going to have a relationship with them, I've got to pick up the phone. I've got to get in the car. I've got to take the initiative to maintain it.
Yeah. I try. I really do. But sometimes it just, I don't know if they think I'm toxic or what, or they just get too busy. I just, you know, I try. I really do.
Have you ever talked to your kids individually about your relationship in a positive way?
Sometimes. Sometimes they don't want to talk. I mean, I'm estranged from a couple of them. One for about 18 years, so that's a long time. But, you know, I send cards and letters and stuff like that. But I just, and there was a divorce about 20 years ago, too, even though they were adult children. Mm-hmm. I think the divorce kind of split the family, too, and it made it harder. Yeah.
What are you doing, Rita, for yourself, though?
Right.
What are you doing to move on? I don't mean move on, but I guess get around this in terms of your life.
Oh, right. I'm staying active in my church. And good. But sometimes I feel, though, that I'm suppressing some of my emotions. I mean, I try to be happy for other people. And, I've been going to a lot of church activities. And I have friends that come over once a month. And I stay, pretty outgoing. But I think a lot of people don't realize deep down under there is some sadness there, that's just kind of that I wish I could get rid of. Mm-hmm. I wish I could put it behind. It's hard to put things behind.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, and coming out of Mother's Day last month, and then I'm thinking even Father's Day. I mean, moms always get the, the restaurants are full and everybody's busy with mom, and then dad comes along. And your kids, here's what happens. Your kids say, oh, it's dad's day. And they go down to Walgreens or CVS to get a card, and there's no card. So you give them a birthday card and cross off happy birthday and say happy Father's Day. Does that happen to you? I don't know. Anyway, but seriously, there can be disappointment and sadness, and we either choose to stay stuck in that or we choose to move on. All right. Speaking of regret, boy, this was a comment that was left on regret, and it's a warning, I think, to us about how sometimes the emotions that we have, we've created the potential for them ourselves in how we choose to live.
I guess one of the things that I regret doing is being promiscuous when I was in my 20s. I think that I slept with too many people in order to feel loved, and that was not something that was of God at all, and diminished my value so much that when I met the love of my life and my husband, I carried with me all of those people that I had been with. It was just, those images of those decisions haunted my sexual relationship with my husband, and I just couldn't get past what I had done to enjoy what I was given now. It was really, really hard for me. I lived with a lot of regret and a lot of shame for myself and not being as pure for my husband, and I just think that I looked for love in the wrong places, and what did I find? Nothing. Wish that I would have saved that for my husband, because it would have been so special. It would have been so much more, and it wouldn't have been tainted or scarred.
And, I was thinking about, what does the Bible say about teaching? Proverbs chapter 9, it says, instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Isn't that interesting? I'm hoping that even teaching like this morning, for somebody here, you might say, aha moments. I'm going to look for more aha moments. And I've been successful at what I'm doing today. We gain wisdom sometimes from somebody else who's teaching, good teachers. That's an excerpt from the lesson this month. You can have a moment in your life that can change your life. And I think this lesson will be encouraging to you. I teach the staff from time to time. It's recorded and made available to you all because our members who help make all of this possible. Thanking you for your support faithfully over these last 12 months. And now in this 12th month, the last one of our fiscal year, thank you for stepping up big time with your help. We appreciate it. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or call 888-888-1717.
As a child, I was a very poor student. Not that I didn't know how to study. I didn't know how to ask for help. I was just a very frightened child. Because I was a frightened child, I turned into a frightened adult. And I never really lived up to my potential, which is very sad, and I have a lot of regrets. If the one thing I can tell parents is you have to encourage children to try things even if they're afraid, because if the fear controls them, they'll never try new stuff, they'll never know how good they are. As a child, I didn't have anybody to encourage me to find out what I like to do, to try it, see if I am good at it or if I'm not good at it, just to try it anyway so I'm not afraid. And even if they try it once, they might say, oh, I like it, let me try it again. Like either riding a horse, anything they're afraid of, they have to conquer that fear.
That's a great reminder. Encouraging your kids has been quoted many times. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, a sound mind. That'll unpack, that'll preach, by the way, Pastor. Those three things, the triad to overcoming the fear in your life, power, love, and a sound mind. Each of those powerful points. All right. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. Sharon, looks like you have a question for me. Go right ahead.
The question that I have, because we're discussing about anger and everything, I tend to get angry and really upset at situations and even with family members. And what I struggle the most with is how I acted towards that person and I sinned. And then there's the guilt. And then I can easily apologize to those people that I've hurt or were angry with and that I sinned against, but then I have a really difficult time forgiving myself and allowing God's grace just to cover over that sin. So my question is, what can I do to help me to overcome those feelings?
All right. Well, Sharon, here it is. Tell yourself the truth. Tell yourself the truth. The circle of control, very small. As I mentioned earlier, it's time limited and space limited. You have no control over what you did that you regret from yesterday. Nothing you can do about it. I mean, there might be some restitution or reconciliation. I understand that. But as far as your emotional life or being able to even do those things could be very limited. So you have a circle of control. What you can do is not live in the past, not live in the future, but live here in this moment and control what you tell yourself. God, I've blown it in the past. I've done the best I can to the extent that I can. And now I ask you to bring to me, allow me not only to know that you've forgiven me, because I know you have. The Bible's, here's a fact, Sharon. The Bible says that you've been forgiven. If you've been forgiven, well, I've been forgiven. And he doesn't do something for me, he doesn't do for you. And so you want to experience it. Remember, we talked about not only the hope, but the experiencing the hope. And so you start living as though you have been forgiven. You start telling yourself that truth and you start living as though you have been forgiven because you have. And you can do that within your circle of control. And when you do those things, that's a huge positive step forward that'll make a big difference in your life and your relationship and your family and everything. I know it's not easy. Sometimes we need that counselor or pastor to come alongside and encourage us in the process. Finding that kind of a person could be helpful for you as well, for sure. All right. I think we've got time for one more call, I think, don't we? All right. Joni, I think you're on the line. What's your question or comment today?
Well, I'm not exactly sure what emotion it would be, but I've learned that I was broken, very broken. I have six children, and I tried to protect, I thought would be the word I would use back then, but today I would say control. I tried to control them as much as I could, not really realizing that's what I was doing, thinking I had to protect them because I had been abused when I was young, never wanted anything like that to happen to my children. And so, of course, you go to the opposite extreme, so that's what I did. And didn't realize how broken I was till several of them just went off the rails. They didn't want anything to do with Christianity. And then I'm like, oh boy, what did I do wrong?
Maybe nothing.
Yeah. Oh, I think I did. I'm a person that I always had to be doing something. I always had to be like cleaning. And I thought it was just the way I was raised because my dad was very clean, my stepdad. But what I realized, it was I never felt like the Lord really saw me. And so I always felt like I had to do, because no one ever saw me growing up. So I always had to do things to feel like I was worth something. And then all I ever wanted my children to do was love Jesus with all their heart and soul. And I went about that, but not realizing I went about it the wrong way. Very much legalistic. You know, if you do all the right things, then it wasn't love and mercy and grace.
And so what was the message to the kids, do you think, that caused them to maybe reconsider where they were spiritually? Did they want anything to do with mom's faith or what? What do you think?
I think they saw God more as a God of judgment. You have to do this and that to get his approval, like we did mom. And I demonstrated more law than grace. Mm-hmm. But that God has really gotten a hold of my heart when all the kids, well, not all of them, but when several of them have went through some really tough things, he's really changed me a lot.
How about them? Have you been able to talk to them about your growth and what they've seen, what's going on with mom, in a positive way?
Well, absolutely. My oldest daughter went through breast cancer. And the last surgery she went through, she told me when it was done, about 2 months after, she said, "Mom, when you hugged me during the surgery, after the surgery, that's the first time that I have felt your unconditional love." I mean, it broke my heart, but also made me happy.
Yeah.
That I'm growing and changing. You know, I've learned to lean into Jesus. I mean, that's what I'm doing, leaning into Jesus, and he's changing me. And I think now they see it's real, because you can go to church, you can take your kids to church, you can do all the right things and lose your children because you're not loving them the way Jesus loved them. Sure. And I guess that's what I've learned.
That's great. Well, as you said a little bit ago, though, it's troubling when we go into the past, say, "I should have," and "why didn't I do that?" And Satan loves to camp in the past, doesn't he?
Amen.
And deal with regrets. And so the fact that you can get up every day and say, "Hey, here's where I am. This is what God's teaching me, and I'm going to move forward and take control of what I can and acknowledge the things I can't and know the difference," that's a powerful thing. It really is.
It is. And my youngest son wasn't talking to me, and now he is, and he's telling me, "Mom, I can see you're working on yourself." So I'm just thanking the Lord, and I've turned my posture from asking to just praising him, because I know that he's going to draw them to him.
Wow, that's a good news story, Joni. There at the end, I'm glad we could hear the ending that you're reconnecting with your kids. And he does have that promise that he will kind of capture all those years that we waste. You know, the locust is eaten. It's a word picture for us. And so if you're feeling like maybe your emotions have gotten you into a rut or into a ditch or created problems in a relationship, you can have an aha moment today. And if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, to ask him to give you the power, because the Bible says he's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. If you don't know him today, to turn to him and say, "Lord, I'm done trying to do this myself, and I give my life to you." Amen. We got to run. I'm Dr. Randy. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living, a ministry of Intentional Life Media.